once again, and welcome to the Music Review Database podcast with me, Chris. And today we've got Trifonic with us. Trifonic is the stage name for producer Brian Trifon. He's an electronic musician and composer, known for his work on the Assassin's Creed soundtrack, on the Borderlands soundtrack, and of course as the producer of his own music under the name Trifonic. His new album, Nymph Wave, has been out for a few days now, and we decided to catch up with him to see what he's been up to and what it was like to release his new album. Have a lot of fun, and see you on the other side. So first off, could you introduce yourself to our readers and listeners who do not know you?
Yes. Hey, this is Trifonic, and I just put out the second album, Ninth Wave, last week.
And let's start a humble beginnings. Did you grow up in a musical family?
Yeah, absolutely. So, definitely a somewhat musical family. Definitely my mom, she used to play piano and things like that, and a lot of my cousins are musicians. Like, I have a cousin that she's on None Such Records. Her name's Christina Corden. She was actually on the first record on Emergence. She sang on the track Sooner or Later. Just basically that whole side of the family is like a lot of musicians. And then in terms of, my background, I actually went to music school. I have a very useless degree in jazz guitar. So my whole life has been dedicated to music.
And when did you decide that you wanted to make music?
Yeah, I mean, I think pretty much like even when it was just guitar, before I got into all this production nonsense, I think I realized that I much preferred to actually create tracks and like write things. That was easier than actually memorizing other pieces. A lot of studying music is building your repertoire and memorizing, and I had some troubles with that, so I was like, maybe it'd be better in terms of composing and writing music, because it's easier to make things up sometimes than to remember.
I completely agree. And why this specific kind of music?
Yeah, I mean, I think, in some ways, it feels like it. I don't have much of a choice in that, like, it comes naturally. Like, it wasn't ever really a conscious decision. It's sort of, I think it's both a blessing and a curse, but ever since I started making music, I had a certain aesthetic and sound. And of course, like earlier on, it wasn't as like glitchy with the electronics, but just the choice of notes and the feeling, like, and the intensity of the music is very much the same as it is now. It's just probably wasn't nearly as good. And then as I developed the production chops and things like that, then it's just incorporating all that into the aesthetic. But basically, I mean, it's kind of the sound has always been there. It was never really a choice.
And how would you describe your music to somebody who has never heard your music before?
Yeah, so I mean, basically it's electronic, listening music. It's not really dance music. But really with a combination of the like organic and natural elements, and that contrast with very synthetic elements. And then it's all kind of in the context of, general, I guess, like, bass music and IDM. But yeah, it's really, I try to do something that's really integrated and emotionally intense.
Yeah, and unique as well, because you incorporate elements of, for instance, dubstep, which is a genre that's sweeping the earth right now, and people are dancing to it, and it's inherently dance music, but you still take it and you add it into that very orchestral sound that you've got going for yourself, and you make it something that's listenable in a home environment instead of in a club environment, for instance.
Yeah, I mean, I think, that what I like to do is, I think that the music is definitely more of like an escape kind of feeling. And so it's supposed to be a listening thing. It's not, it's usually not like such. It's in some ways it's too dense to be dance music. Like dance music, where it really is great, is really minimal. Like that's when you're at a club on a great sound system and you really can just get you know, hypnotized by it. But this is kind of like, it's too intense. There's too much shit going on all at once, like, where, you know, it's like, it wouldn't work in that context. But if you're just listening to it and, you know, you want a listening experience, I think it works really well with that. But, you know, definitely the cinematic aspect. I mean, I've worked on a number of film scores and that kind of thing. And I've always loved film music and classical music. And so it's just that's definitely an influence in there as well.
Well, you could say it's a bit too complex for ravers and clubbers. And no offense to ravers and clubbers, of course, but you wouldn't expect to find this music at a rave. You wouldn't want that.
Right, you know, it'd kill the... I mean, in some ways, it's like, it's not what you'd want at a rave either. It's like, you know, it's more of... I mean, you know, I think it can work in the right... Like, it definitely works live in the right sort of experience. But if people are like, it's just not dance music. It's not rave music, you know?
And now let's talk about your newest album, Nymph Wave. How did you approach the production of that album?
Yeah, well, I mean, Ninth Wave, I started right after Emergence finished. So I finished Emergence basically at the end of 2007, and that came out in 2008. And then I started on some of the tracks for Ninth Wave, like, way back then, and I was really excited about it. And then it just got, you know, kind of making a living in music ended up taking up a lot of my time, just because, you know, doing, like, the experimental music that I love to do, that is triphonic, that I care about, you know, it makes up a portion of my living. The rest of it is like doing music for commercials, doing productions for other people, working on, you know, TV, video game music, that kind of thing as well. And it just, I sort of got really busy just doing a lot of that other work, and it took me away from sort of doing triphonic tracks. But finally, you know, this year I realized, like, you know, that it needed to happen. I mean, because one, I got tired of the question, oh, when's your new record going to come out? And you know, and like 2 or 3 years ago, I was like, oh, really soon, you know, and then a couple years go by. And then I was like, oh, I'm really, really soon, I promise. I wanted to, one, get rid of that question. And then secondly, just personally, I felt like that, you know, I was living in the past until I got this new music out, because some of it I started so long ago that, you know, it's just things that, you know, it's like, I feel like it's hard to move on even musically until I get it out there, you know?
And did you feel pressure to release this new album as fast as possible?
Oh, that's a great pressure to have. I mean, to give you an answer, no. I mean, I didn't feel the pressure. Like, that's a good kind of pressure, that, you know, because most of the time it's like... you could do something and nobody cares about it. And, you know, and there's no pressure at all to do anything. So I felt very, like, fortunate and thankful that people, you know, would ask me about, oh, when's it going to come out? And, you know, that was a good motivating force. I think most of the pressure came from myself, where I was just like, I need to do this personally. You know, and that's sort of the harder pressure to take sometimes.
And ever since Emergence first hit, your fan base has seen an exponential growth. And I just wanted to know, how did that make you feel? What was your initial reaction to seeing that so many people loved your music?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, you couldn't ask for anything more. It's especially because, you know, so much of this kind of thing, it's like you work in isolation and nobody around you really hears it. And, you know, you have no idea how people are going to respond. And I mean, I'm definitely very critical of the work I do, and I'm sure a lot of other artists and producers are the same way, where it's like, you know, you can be really hard on yourself. You sort of have to be to actually make stuff that's good, but there's a lot of uncertainty of like, oh, is this any good? I don't know. And you definitely lose any kind of objective sense of how people react. And that's a frightening thing. You know, so it's, it feels like a relief. So it's great to have it out there, yeah.
And what's it like to share the creative process with somebody else, because you work together with your brother on Triphonic?
Yeah. So it's interesting. Like, the working with my brother has kind of changed over time too. So on Emergence, he was, you know, we worked in the same physical space all the time, like in the studio together, and that was great. And then in the last couple of years, he moved to a different state. He lives in Colorado. I live in California. And so it's mainly me working on the production day to day. But what's fantastic about my brother Lawrence is that he kind of is more of like, some ways, like the average listener, in the sense that, you know, I'm very technical minded and have a very strong like musical education and background. He doesn't as much. And that's a really good perspective to have, because I can send him things that I might think are cool. And, you know, he can give me a perspective on it that's different and go, OK, well, this is cool, but this thing is maybe, you know, you're kind of going off into your wanky, you know, IDM, whatever, it doesn't need to happen. And so it's a great way to be able to bounce things back and forth. It's easy to get lost in your own head, you know.
And I don't know if you can answer this, because your music is so diverse and, well, unique. I was just wondering, are you influenced by other artists? And if yes, who are they?
Sure, yeah. No, I'm influenced by a lot of artists. I mean, I constantly hunt and buy music and listen to music all the time. So, I mean, I would say, you know, there's a couple different genres of things I'm influenced by. But I guess in terms of electronic music, I mean, ever since in 2006 when I heard Burial, that just kind of changed, you know, my whole perspective. So Burial, Trent Mahler, just because his production is fantastic, and so Trent Mahler, Apparat, and then, you know, in addition to that, I listen to a lot of just like rock music and post rock music. And so I'm trying to think, I mean, you know, the sort of the normal post-rock stuff, Sigur Rós, Mogwai.
Godspeed You.
Godspeed You Black Emperor, Explosions in the Sky, like all of that stuff I love. Let's see, I'm trying to think, there's a couple other things that come, like the new XX album I thought was so good. I really loved that. Let me think if there's anything else that blew my mind.
Well, I don't know if you're familiar with his music, but when I listen to your music, I sometimes hear segments that remind me a bit of Helios. I don't know if you're directly influenced by him.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I know Helios's music. Yeah, I haven't listened to it too much, but I the things I've heard I really like. It's Helios, and then of course, like, the, you know, the other, some of my like friends influenced me a lot, like Heck, you know, who did a remix of Baalbek on Ninth Wave, and I'm a big fan of his music, and you know, Subheim, and a couple other artists that I know are big influences on me as well.
And could you tell me what influences you?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, the biggest influence is just kind of escape, you know, it's an expression of sort of, you know, I don't know, I guess my life and all that. It's so it's very, you know, it's a very personal thing, and there's definitely always a sense of like this density and texture in the music, and I just want it to be something that's like you can escape into, that's like outside of just normal life.
And when we look at your music specifically, could you tell me which track you are the most proud of and why?
Yeah, okay, well, if we go back in the catalog to Emergence, I mean, Parks on Fire is my, from that record, is that's my favorite, because it's I mean, that I kind of like, that worked out better than I could have planned. Like sometimes you create a track and, you know, of course with everything you try to make it the best it can be, and sometimes there's just, they come together in a magical way that, like, you know, you can't always do. And so Parks on Fire just worked out really well, and I love the feeling of it. It sort of embodies all the different elements that I like to express, like this contrast of really beautiful things and this kind of menacing undercurrent. And they have this, you know, like counterpoint, basically, or interaction that always goes back and forth, and it develops really well. So I'm really proud of that. In terms of Ninth Wave, I think there's two tracks that I'm really proud of. Definitely just the title track, Ninth Wave, because it's something different for me. It's like I like all the chopped acoustic guitars in it, and the way... in the way that they all weave together in this, like, this texture, Yeah, and some of the also the melody in that that happens a little bit later that some people think is a violin, and I like to know what people think that the melody is, because it's a really strange, it's a processed sound, but it just has this weird liquid quality that's just so strange. So I'm proud of that one. And then Baalbek, just mainly because with that one, I mean, like, that's the hardest track I've ever worked on, ever. Like, that fought me so much. I have hundreds of different bounces of it, from starting back from 2009. And so it was a very challenging track. And I just feel like just to have that done, like, it feels great. You know, I I'm happy with how it turned out. So
the result is amazing.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's an intense piece, you know. It's like, it goes a lot of different sections, and it gets to a level of density that's like thicker than any track I've ever made. And you know, but it also you know, encapsulates this period of time, like the last 3 or 4 years in my life, kind of sums it up somehow. So
you are, of course, also known for your work on the Assassin's Creed soundtrack, amongst others, and I'm just really curious to know, what was it like to work with Jesper Keith?
Yeah, that was great. I got to know him a few years ago, I guess probably back in 2008. And, you know, he's a really cool guy. And you know, we you know, liked each other's work. And, you know, he's so busy working on soundtracks. And he'd been looking for a guitarist that was good, that just kind of could do stuff that was creative. And so, you know, he's like, sent me a couple things to work on back when he was working on Assassin's Creed 2. And he's just like, you know, just do some really cool guitar parts that, like, don't be afraid to be experimental. And I was like, all right. And so just kind of went for it. He was really happy. And then ever since then, we've just tried to work together on each thing. Like, most of the time I'm just doing guitars and guitar based processes, because I mean, he's a very accomplished composer, you know, and most of the time he's writing most of the music. And so it's more of like I'm working as a session musician, where it's like, hey, I need these particular things. And sometimes he'll have a part in mind, or other times he'll give me some freedom. And but it's been really great. And then it's fantastic, like, once the games come out, to, you know, be playing Assassin's Creed 2 or Borderlands or Borderlands 2, and just, you know, hear my guitars and bits of music in there. It's really exciting.
It must be a dream come true to work on such big and ambitious projects.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and, you know, it was great too, because this past year, or maybe it was in 2011, I worked on the Halo anniversary soundtrack. And that was actually as like a composition role for that one. So that was really cool. It was basically the 10th anniversary of the original Halo game. And so I was one of the people that was hired to help basically reinterpret and recreate the original score, but, like, you know, in a more modern kind of way. So I got to recreate all the music of the Flood, like the sort of ambient, you know, dark music that's in Halo. And so that was, you know, it's been really cool to get involved in video games and work on projects like that, where it's, you know, where it's big projects, like, where, you know, it gets out to a big audience. And then also it's even working on it, you know, with the Halo, we recorded orchestra over at Skywalker, which is a big scoring stage here in Northern California. It's really cool stuff.
And do you perform live? If yes, could you describe your live show to me?
Yeah, so I do perform live. It hasn't been that frequently, but it will be more so. And basically, the live show that I've been doing is where I have, you know, I'm using Ableton Live, and I have a lot of the background tracks, and then I play some of the guitar parts live, and then I can, you know, adjust the effects and stems and play the guitar parts. And I have sort of different interpretations of the songs for live shows. So what I've been trying to do is, instead of doing like DJ sets, just doing all Triphonic sets, where it's like an hour and 15 minutes, where I have these other, like, these different versions of the tracks, and, you know, playing some guitar and bass parts live. You know, I played this past year, you know, in Salt Lake City and Portland, Oregon, and Nevada at the Symbiosis Festival. And then next year, so in 2013, in March, it will most likely be in March, I'm going to be doing a European tour. So I'll keep you updated on that as the bookings for that all, you know, get finalized and things.
You're very transparent about the way that you produce your music, and I just want to know, what are your go-to synths?
Yeah, for sure. That's actually a tough question, because I don't even know what the go-to synths are. I mean, I guess I can say some ones that I really like. I mean, most of the time I really like working with audio. So I like to process sounds, like whatever it is, like record instruments, process them and chop them up. So probably my favorite instrument is any kind of sampler. Since I mainly produce in Logic, the EXS24 sampler is kind of a go-to one. It's kind of out of date, like especially compared to something like Native Instruments Contact, which I also use, but it's just EXS24 is so efficient, like CPU-wise, and it's just easy to kind of use. So I end up using that a lot. I'd say the other go-to synth, I really like Sculpture, which is a physical modeling synth in Logic, because it's very unique sounding. Probably just most of the Native Instruments stuff. I mean, I love Massive, I love Absinthe and FM8. They're all, you know, those are all fantastic. I use those quite frequently. Those are probably the go-to synths.
Do you use analog stuff as well?
Oh yeah, yeah. I've got a Roland SH09, which is it's like a late 70s synthesizer. It's one oscillator and sub oscillator and a low pass filter, and it sounds amazing. And then I've got a Sequential Circuits Pro 1, which is kind of like the Prophet 5 was Sequential Circuits' big synthesizer, and so the Pro 1 is basically like a one voice from a Prophet 5. But in my opinion, the Pro 1 sounds better for its one voice. I really like it. It's great.
Well, it seems like we burned through all my questions, all but one. And that is, I want to know what your stance is on the whole debate on illegally downloading and the music industry as a whole.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, it's a complicated question, because, I mean, there's some aspect of, you know, people who discover a lot of music illegally downloading it, and then they, you know, end up buying it and supporting it. But then, you know, on the other side, it's making music is really expensive. Like, if you do it, and especially if you're not like trying to do, you know, if you're doing electronic dance music and you're doing like stuff that's amazing and that's in the mainstream, I mean, people can do really well. That being said, it's extremely competitive, and so it's a very small pool of people that actually get anywhere with it. But most people that are doing stuff and putting out releases, it's very tight, you know. A lot of them work day jobs, or like me, you know, they work in other fields of music, like doing music for commercials or video games and things like that. I have very mixed feelings about it. Like, you know, in some ways, I mainly want people to discover it. I want people to enjoy it and it to mean something to them. And it kind of doesn't matter how they get it. That being said, I also, you know, I have to live. I have to make enough from it so that I can continue to create music. And so, you know, the thing that can be frustrating, like, for example, with Ninth Wave, was that, you know, like literally an hour or two, like after midnight when it was out, it was up on that what.cd torrent site, like immediately. And then the next day it was on like every torrent site. And, you know, not that that's that big a deal. Like I'm happy that people are getting it. But, you know, I was just kind of like, really? That it was that quick? Like, you know, I was hoping there'd be like a few days or something. But, bottom line is like, I want people to listen to it, enjoy it, you know?
Okay, that was it. I sincerely want to thank you for doing this interview, and hopefully we'll speak with you in the future. And good luck with everything you've got going for yourself.
Great, yeah, great talking to you, and I'll talk to you soon.